Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Bob, but welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Strong, your mob to Delhi. We're going to jump straight into it. Got the beautiful lady from Murra Law. We got Fern Newcomb come to join me. And my sister, very good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Trev. Good morning to you too.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, listen, our topic today, sexual harassment and the law. Look, we are all protected and in all facets, and no matter who you are, what you are, no one's above the law. Fern, so we're talking about that today and what sexual harassment actually is according to the law and its prevalence in the law industry as such, yes?
Yeah, both of them. So the sexual harassment revelations against former High Court Justice Dyson Heydon, they've recently been dominating the headlines. They're kind of the reason that this topic is on the agenda today. So these allegations, or the findings of this investigation, it brought to light some concerns that if this kind of illegal behaviour is allegedly happening in a workplace that's supposed to follow the strictest letter of the law, what is happening in other workplaces?
Well, exactly. For anyone listening who may not know about the recent headlines, could you let us know what happened there with the High Court Justice Dyson Heydon, please?
So the current Chief Justice, Susan Kiefel, handed down findings of an investigation with the former judge alleged to have sexually harassed six judges' associates. So judges' associates work very closely with the judge or justice, as they're called at the High Court, and it is an exceptionally prestigious role in the legal profession. So it brings like a wealth of experience and knowledge that a judge's associate gains from performing the duties are almost incomparable with any other position in the legal profession. Mm. So that's sort of the role's upside.
Yep. Downside?
Downside. Its downside is that it's generally a role that comes with a massive power imbalance attached to it. So the judge's associate is definitely at the short end of that straw.
Yep.
Judge's associates are usually also young lawyers, not necessarily young in age, but at the start of their careers. At the start of their careers.
Career-wise.
As the majority of the law graduates are women, they tend to take up a lot of these roles. So it sort of turns that into a gendered issue as well as a power issue.
So, continue.
Sorry, the law doesn't really have a monopoly on roles where there are huge power imbalances amongst employees and where the positions at the lower end of the spectrum are dominated by women and positions at the higher end of the spectrum are dominated by men. Sorry about all my teeth. I've got my braces tightened yesterday.
There you go. That's fantastic. Like I always say, running these teeth in for somebody else, you're doing exactly that. Look, so these allegations have brought up all workplaces in that way, not just legal workplaces.
Yeah, they definitely have. So I work in the legal profession, so that's the lens that I'm looking at it through. Mm. But these principles apply in any workplace anywhere in this nation. What has come to light with the Dyson Heydon headlines is that sexual harassment is a major obstacle to women lawyers fully and equally participating in the legal profession. Mm-hmm. So a 2013 Law Council of Australia survey called the National Attrition and Re-Engagement Survey, or NARS for short, found that one in four women have experienced sexual harassment in their legal workplace.
Wow, yep.
So that's a quarter of them. A key reason, so it's also a key reason why women leave the law. Commentators have also said that there are barriers in the legal system that prevent women from choosing to make complaints, actually, like, as in not enough policy in place where they actually can make complaints, or knowing that if they do make complaints that their career is going to be in tatters.
Well, when you look at the high end of the law, and you get a person in this position, like Dyson Heydon, they're protected, so to speak, in regarding their status, so to speak, and they can palm things up with the knowledge is power, you know.
Definitely.
All the above, but
power imbalances,
no one's above the law, is what we're saying.
And
you're supposed to a duty of respect and call, because you swear as a lawyer that you abide by the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's the whole point of the profession.
Yeah, exactly.
Is abiding by the law. Yeah. It's
so, what is sexual harassment in the workplace? What is it?
So its legal definition is an unwelcome sexual advance, unwelcome request for sexual favours, or other unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature which makes a person feel offended, humiliated and or intimidated, where a reasonable person would anticipate that reaction in the circumstances. So that's just a really fancy way of saying it's anything that kind of makes people feel really uncomfortable, or like they're being discriminated against, or I mean, I know it's a fine line between, you know, giving people a compliment, but it's also
when you get that
power imbalance happening,
sure,
is where I think it makes it worse. So the Sex Discrimination Act makes this kind of behavior unlawful, and a working environment or workplace culture that is sexually permeated or hostile is also unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
So there are indications in the case law that hostile and permeated in this sense can include displaying pornography, general sexual banter, crude conversation, and even innuendo.
Okay,
word in itself.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Exactly. So if you're a boss and you find out or know that your employees are engaging in this kind of behaviour, what does that mean for you?
So an employer may be vicariously liable if an employee commits sexual harassment and the employer did not take all reasonable steps to prevent it.
Mm.
So in other words, if you as a boss see this happening and don't do anything about it, or you don't have any policy or training in place to prevent or report sexual harassment, you can be held liable.
Well, exactly. Well, you need to create a safe workplace, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And if we're talking about CEO or manager or the owner of the company, you've got to have all that in place.
Yeah,
that is the law, is
yeah,
it not?
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's talk the law. So more information about this, where do people go?
So the Legal Aid website says if you have been the victim of sexual harassment, you should get legal advice. If you or someone you know is in danger, contact the police. And, of course, in an emergency, dial 000.
Mm-hmm.
So online, Lean In is a great resource. You can find them at leanin.org and then /sexual-harassment/individuals, or you can just Google Lean In sexual harassment support.
Mm-hmm.
If you need some commercial or native title legal advice, of course, you can always call us at Marawa Law on 404-1-3088. You can also get more information about anything law-related from your local law society. So the Queensland Law Society's number is 1-300-367-757.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if you're an Indigenous business and you need some pro bono support, specifically relating to difficulties your business is facing from the COVID-19 crisis, head to our website, www.marawalaw.com, and register your details on the pop-up tile.
Lovely. The fantastic work that Marawa Law is doing regarding the pro bono during COVID-19. Thank you very much. Let the mob know, Fern, who Marawa Law is.
So we are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. So you can check us out and get all our contact details that I just said online at marawalaw.com.au.
Too Deadly, my friend. Thank you so very much. All the best to your Deadly team at Marawa Law. Say hello to the guys and girls there, and we'll talk soon, Fern.
Will do. You too, Trev. Bye.
Too deadly. Very beautiful. That is Fern there, Fern Newcombe from Murrah Law, and the topic there is sexual harassment and the law. So we are all protected, especially our beautiful women out there, and girls can do anything and stand up and be strong, and us brothers need to support that, and we need to check ourselves as well. But at the same time, sexual harassment could come the other way, very rare, but a female on a male, and brothers, you can stand up too, you know. So there it is, your mob. Have your say. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with Bullier and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, meet the brand new Australia. We're going to catch up a yarn with James Jasura, partner and managing director, Sydney at Nature Research. The lab and Nature uncover how COVID-19 is changing consumer attitudes and behaviour. On the line, we have James. James, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on. I'm great. Thank you.
Fantastic. You? Thank you very much for coming to the program. So regarding meeting the brand new Australia, so we're talking about a survey that has been done by you guys, and then the feedback you got and how people are coping or have adapted or how they received COVID-19 in regard to the world that we live in, yes?
That's correct. So since March, when there was when the outbreak kind of initially occurred or became significant, we've been speaking to Australians on a weekly basis, so around 400 people every single week between March and July, both quantitatively through online surveys and qualitatively through one-on-one discussions and video diaries to really understand the impact that it's having on people's lives, how they're responding, and ultimately, the different kind of experiences that people are having and the different consumer groups that are going to emerge.
What sort of findings have you found, James?
I think the most interesting thing is this kind of sense of dichotomy that people have had positive experiences throughout this in the sense that they've self-reflected and are starting to reevaluate what's important to them and have started to simplify their lives. Others haven't had as nice an experience. They're struggling financially or even from a health perspective. And as a result of that, it's forced them to kind of either focus on saving more or be very cautious of where they go and who they see. So different groups experience the pandemic in different ways. And as a result of that, we've identified five different groups of people that are emerging.
And what are the five groups? Are five segments?
So our five segments are, and I'll start with the most worried and most concerned segment. So we've got safety seekers that represent around a quarter of Australians. They're very concerned about their health, and because of that, very cautious of who they see, where they go. Mm-hmm. So they're imposing, I guess, greater self-restrictions on what they do. We've then got two segments, the strugglers and the simplifiers, which both represent around 20% of Australians each. And they're two segments that have been impacted financially from this. So they'll tell us that they've had a negative financial impact. Mm. They're very worried about their financial security in the future from a financial perspective, and savings become increasingly more important to them. Where the two segments differ, however, is that the simplifiers have already started to self-reflect on what's actually important to them. They want a simpler life when this is over, and they're really re-evaluating what they spend their money on. So they're more optimistic than the strugglers. Okay. We've then got opportunists that are excited about taking advantage of the opportunities that will emerge from this. And our final segment, the smallest segment at around 16%, are either returners who are just wanting things to go back to exactly how they were pre-COVID.
All right, because if you look at it, we as human beings, I mean, we respond or react to different things and to what happens in our life. So, look, a very important survey done in regard to what you guys have done, explain the brand new Australia, because this is uncharted waters. This is something new for all of us, well, globally, you know. And, well, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond. But some people have react, and hence the survey. So very important information, yes?
Yeah, that's right. We've had a really positive response from, clients, the media alike. So, definitely important. It's something we're continuing to monitor as the situation evolves, and, just keeping a finger on the pulse.
Well, exactly, and it's good to have this information so we can, adapt to the future, and sometimes, well, not knowing what the future is in regard to there's no vaccine for the virus, so we don't know how long we were in this for, but it just probably emphasises the catchphrase, we are all in this together, so we all need to support each other and to how each individual responds or reacts to the situation, yes?
That's absolutely right.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing, James. Look, very important information. For anybody who would like to follow what you guys are doing, how do we go about? Is there a number or a web page?
Yeah, so you can hit up our website, so natureresearch.com.au or thelabstrategy.com. And also we've got a dedicated website that we've set up, the COVIDBrandNavigator.com. That we are uploading dedicated content around the research that we're doing too.
Good, fantastic. Well, it's all about information, and thank you very much for sharing your information. All the best to you, James, to you and your team there, and your family. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Adeli Yarn there by the name, for Adeli brother by the name of James Jasura, partner and managing director at Sydney at Nature Research. Meet the Brand New Australia was the topic there, and talking about all the survey they did with about 6,000 odd people, and got information back. Here's some numbers. 65% of Australians believe the pandemic is the reset we needed to reevaluate how we are living. 58% of Australians want a simpler life when the pandemic is over. 36% of Australians are excited about the opportunities that will emerge post-pandemic. 53% of Australians are really worried about the future. 49% of Australians want things to go back to exactly how they were before COVID-19. 44% of Australians will not be able to relax until there is a COVID-19 vaccine. 48% of Australians expect the next few years to be very difficult financially. So, add to the conversation. Tell us how you are receiving COVID-19 in regard to the world we live in. Have you got a positive outlook for the future? Are you concerned financially? Are you excited about opportunities, or are you disturbed in your situation and how the future looks financially or physically, all the above? Love to hear from you, Mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, live in First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, Yarnum with the Bully, and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. That deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Daily Track there, Kutonis, and that's Kura Jewel. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Jan Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. Jana with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up with you. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. Yeah, I'm pretty exhausted from a lot of things.
Yeah, how are you travelling? All right?
I've still got that battle with the council from our own graveyard, my little 6x4 land runs.
How are you going with that? Any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, no, it's a Mexican standoff at the moment. I suppose they said they're going to have a meeting. I went to the Gordonvale markets last Saturday and I had a sign hanging up there, read all about it. And, yeah, that's really exhausted me. I've been having a few days off. Why I ran up today is I'm really angry inside. I just do it as easily as I can. Talking about sexism earlier on in the show.
Yes. Sexual harassment.
Yeah, right. About a week ago, I came on and I said a story about the... how the old fellas say, oh, you know, slow down, you're making us look bad when you're all working and getting the same pay. Yeah, and the other day you was talking to an Indian money lady, I think on Tuesday.
Yep, yep.
And you gave me beautiful words, and it says, because people were bullying women for money or whatever reason.
That was a topic.
Said, yeah, to keep women down to make themselves look good. And that's exactly how I feel. This call is about the soundtrack that I gave you that I asked for back, which I got, of Donna's voice. And then I was told there was a copy of it. And so that's amongst everybody. And I don't know where that's going, who's listening to it. But I know people are listening to it because I can hear some of Donna's phrases being used. And I want to talk about that tape. It took a 20,000-mile marathon to get that. That was three trips to Canberra. And then finally out of state in New South Wales, Woman Talk gave her a two-hour interview. And then we went up in the country and was away for telephones for a long time, and then I dealt with all of Donna's cancer sickness, and then you came to my house, right, and listened to the tape and stuff, and you said, oh, it's different management now, it would go ahead. And then I'm told that for cultural reasons it can't be played. Well, I feel that is bullying still, and people must be very insecure when they get a great activist like my missus and they're just trying to keep it quiet. And I've got culture too, you know. I just requested on the hit show before, Everything I Do For You by Brian Adams, the song from Robin Hood, you know, and I've got culture too, and that's my lady. And to find men frightened of a voice from the grave and told I have to wait 6 months. We've waited over 20 years. I'm trying to appease the spirits now, and I'm totally cut that everything we have done is stopped because the events that happened in our life are so atrocious and are continuing from. You don't need to name names. So when people name themselves after a snake, mate, I might as well call myself Jesus Christ. And there's a really culture clash going on here. And I want them to reconsider and play that tape in its entirety for the whole nation. Because I've been talking for 20 years because Donna was bullied off the airwaves in the first place. You're in the hot seat, mate, and I believe in you, and I believe you've done everything you could, but now you have the weight of the directors controlling you, and it's all good.
Well, I'm saying regarding cultural reason, and if you're saying you've waited 20 years, cultural reason, they're saying 6 months. Can you hang on for 6 months, my friend?
They're just making it up as they go along. This is what, you know, they just make it up to suit themselves to silence that woman.
Can you hold on for 6 months, my friend?
Well, I'm going mad for this. I mean, you're not hurting me. Well, you're hurting me because they're denying that lady her voice, and that's sexism. And all the men have done. Women have no rights on country, and I'm talking about grassroots activists, not corporate people. We have nothing to do with corporation or anything, because, and I met one of our great young fellas down at Greenpatch, they're really black duck, Donald Hayes there, and he told me Goldsboro is a disgrace, the camp is a mess. He said, oh, it's not like you and Mum had it, and he said, I still call you Dad, you know, I'm still somebody in this family. And he come up, and he was the only one that shook my hand at Donna's funeral. And I said, you're a man. And I used to take him to school and do all kind of stuff, you know, go to school. But I'm still a member of the family, no matter I'm a Megaloo.
Yep.
And there's a culture clash here. And I just disagree that we have to wait 6 months. You know, I said, yeah, I'll take the soundtrack back, you know. But I know there's a copy there now. And I know they'll all be going through it and listening in there and taking her words and plagiarism and stealing and the whole thing, because what she did is so great. And sure. I will get... And so I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there, Greg, but I had to make this call.
Sure. Just put your mind at ease. No way, no shape or form we'll be using that information and stealing her words.
Well, you know, if there's a copy... You know, I didn't authorise that copy.
Of course,
you
know, yes.
We're talking about I can be sued for this and that and using names and things. But like I said, you know, no one likes mysteries. You know, I've been talking for a long time about that, and I'm sure a lot of people would like, what's in it, you know? What's in it? You know, and it's about the attack on the art gallery, how she was terrorised at home, about how no one was in Canberra. And to get that was a... And I've made an allergy. That was a 20-mile... To not play that tape... I was watching the Olympics the other day, and they showed Kathy Freeman's race. They showed Kathy Freeman's race, which is at the same time that tape was made. And to not play that tape would be like tripping her up, tripping Kathy Freeman up just before she hit the finish line. They did... It's like Donna. It was her. She was so happy to get that tape. It was the fruits of a 20,000-kilometre up and down to Canberra three times. Mm. Finally, she was recognised by interstate. Room boys and hiding behind the explanation culture. Culture. Well, anybody else pass away, you know, they're picking on somebody 6 feet under. So how low can they go? And I don't believe if that's culture, it's not. It's just a cover-up because she makes them look bad.
Okay, thanks for your chat, Tone. I'm sorry you feel that way, brother.
Yeah, well, I have to because I've been made to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And Selwyn, like Selwyn said a while ago, I've shared the journey right the way through, and I didn't realise what I'd done reporting all this time until I heard Selwyn say that. And thank you, Selwyn. And I'm still sharing this journey. Sure. But that journey is not complete until you hear from the lady herself.
Yes.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you, Tony. All the best, brother. That's Tony Gibbs there calling from Gordonville, and his thoughts about his lady who's with us in spirit, and her voice should be heard. We feel as though it's a cultural thing. 6 months is what we're waiting for in respect to the family, and her resting in peace. But have you say, Yanup Song, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yanup with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We're across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Daily check there, Boogala Gun Bajiria. That's our Lidlstick band having their daily track here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob? Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We've got Sullen on the line. Very good morning, my brother. How are you, Sullen?
Oh, right, but I'll touch on Tony's conversation. But anyway, my little take on sexism, brother. You know, like if a Sheila walked past a website and somebody woofy whistle,
yeah.
Yeah, some women would find it like an airflow, you know?
Yes.
Offensive. But I love Linda Bailey, brother. Remember the Deadly Awards?
Yes.
And somebody woofed with somebody, like your family. And she recommends she walking up to the stage, do it again.
Exactly, love it. In actual fact, I should be yarning with her very soon, so stay listening for that daily tune.
Yeah, like I said before, I love Rob, that they got a lot of crap when they speak, but they kick a mickey at them, so I love it, brother.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. And on that Tony's call there, listen to him about talking about culture, but what's missing so far in this yarn about culture? Is Donna side of the family?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like, yeah, but I don't mean to undermine that, Tony. But Tony, in the 20 years that we've been sharing on this program, this is about the burial, you know. We had a bloke in 1999. There was an ITV documentary called "Wrap Me Up in Paperback," and he'll remember that Speedy McGinnis used to come on, and he had a battle with a bureaucracy, Darwin. A couple of goals he had, asked him to take his mum back to Gurindji country. And there's a lot there. I reckon if Tony would visit that, might enlighten him a little bit, you know, because it's not just necessary, you know, like it's a fight about humanity, not necessarily a black and white issue. And a brother, you know, like just recently, people just been returning back from Sher. They went there for a funeral from Palm Island, and a lot of them that went down was from the Skipjack football team. At Palm, the rugby football team,
yeah.
And the coach of it was from Sherbeck. But one side of the family was from Sherbeck, and another one from Palm Island. So they were able to work that out. And we have a lot of people in our community, like not necessarily they are TOs, but they're historical people, and they're from other places. And we have that sort of side of the thing with our own people at Blackwell as ourselves, where the body should be buried.
Sure.
And one of the things that people don't realise too, like that. Just because we're all black, like we're all the same, I often like to say, if you was to superimpose this place on Europe or vice versa, you superimpose Europe on this place, you will see that there are other nations here, able, just like Europe, like Polish, German, and all them kind of things. And we do have other nations here as well, brother. But, yeah, and on that thing about sexual harassment, some people might find it issue, others won't. And I go back to that Steve Hagan about Coon, brother. You know, like Kevin Brady Wilson, I totally heard me too. I said, I didn't find it. You know, as a matter of fact, one of the favorite cassettes used to play that Monroe Martin Park, our people used to play Kevin Brady Wilson, and others found it racist. And I used to read the Phantom comics, and I didn't see it as racist. and of course, we had the lady in Israel, Baron Wives, she called it a fish and chip shop. And she's an ex-copper, and she was and she was a domestic violence victim herself, and she wanted to highlight the fact that she saw it airway, and, you know, other people, so collectively, other women didn't see airway. Yeah, brother, must correct me. But anyway, what is Coon Cheese? Just imagine that Sheila down in Israel, if his say name was McDonald. Oh, no, McDonald, brother. Business. I mean, McDonald wouldn't like that. So there's a tipping point to how far you can go with a name calling. But then again, I go back to Adam Goods, brother, had a name calling. Man, I was sober since 1976, New Year's Eve. And I had to be tin, you know, not thin tin, but thick skin to it, take all the call. And one of the things I say, like, they might call me Abbo, Bung, or Coon, or whatever they want to call me. But I used to always say, oh, you can call me anything, but you can't call me a drunken Coon or Abbo or Bung. You know, brother?
Yes.
That's me individually.
Exactly.
I can't take that away from you, brother.
Can't take that away from you, my brother.
Sorry, brother?
They can't take that away from you. You're not an alcoholic.
I'm a sober alcoholic, yeah. I'm still an alcoholic, but I'm a sober, whatever. But just me individually, but collectively,
yes,
like my children, you know, and other children, it would be very offensive and very hateful. And what it does, brother, what it does to people collectively, it dehumanizes them, brother. It makes things happen like Danny and Chinaman Creek. You remember that drive-by shooting, although it was a day-to-year rifle, and a slug gun, whatever you call it. It normalizes racism, and that sort of stuff happens. And of course, like, there are people that are not as thin skin. And there are people that are very sensitive. Well, there are other people that are like that. It might be anything, but there are people that will go out and deliberately harm people. Because they had it down in Townsville. The gambling gun, the BB gun, they done it in Townsville. And so they're collectively, like I said before, that women, there are things that are hateful collectively with this name Coon, brother. But Tony, brother, if you remember Speedy McGuinness, he had issue with that, with the burial of his mum, and there were a few in his own family, like his brother.
Yep.
Like the idea, brother. Anyway, I think I made my point, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you, Selwyn. All the best to you, my brother. Thank you. A deadly yarn there with Selwyn, a regular caller here on National Talk Black. You too can be a regular caller. Call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say in yarn up strong.
Strong Your Mob, 1-800-422-416. Right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with the Honourable Linda Burney, MP. We were just talking about her, member of the House of Representatives in the Australian Federal Parliament and the Shadow Minister for Families and Social Services and for Preventing Family Violence. Discussing a refreshed Closing the Gap targets on the line. Sister Linda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and I hope it's a lot warmer up there.
Up here in far north Queensland, it is, my sister. I'm sitting here in a pair of shorts and singlet having yarn with you.
It's very cold in Sydney, and it's
great. And look, thinking of you, mob in New South Wales, and of course the mob in Victoria, in the climate that we're living in at the moment, and this this yucky virus, but the only vaccine we've got is abiding by the rules. Is that right, Linda?
Look, that's absolutely right. Trev, it's just crucial that people, as much as possible, socially distance. The hygiene is absolutely critical. And, you know, if you feel the slightest bit unwell, get tested.
Exactly. Exactly. And we need to look after each other and also vulnerable people, our elders, and of course our mob in the community. Look, discussing the refreshed Closing the Gap targets, what's your thought on the so-called refreshed Closing the Gap targets?
Well, a few thoughts. I think what's very positive is that the targets have been negotiated between the government and the Coalition of Peak Aboriginal Organisations, led by Pat Turner, and that's really positive. It's probably the most important point to make. There are 16 new targets, and there is some criticism around that there isn't a target around disability, and I note the Aboriginal Legal Services are arguing that the targets around incarceration should have been more robust. But look, Labor has welcomed the 16 targets, and obviously they go over a decade.
Yes.
Over three parliaments, and that's very important.
And look, previously a lot of targets have been missed in regarding closing the gap, so there's still a lot of work to be done, but
absolutely,
it's great to see a First Nation people holding the reins at the table and help steering the ship forward, yes?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The idea that I do want to put on record, though, that it's not the first time that Aboriginal people have been involved.
True.
Certainly won't be the last. But
exactly.
It's really important that the targets have been arrived at. It is now the responsibility of state and territory governments and the federal government to develop strategies or plans of how they're going to meet the target. And the one thing that I would say that I don't think has been clearly articulated, and that is that there is absolutely no way that some of these targets can be met without additional funding, particularly in terms of housing.
And as we go on this journey, so to speak, we need to be conversing and sort of acting on discussions to hit the target. We also need to be, with the microscope, looking at our movements and how we are on that journey in regarding hitting the targets.
Yes. The critical thing now is that state and territory governments take this incredibly seriously.
Yes.
And the federal government take it seriously. It's not good enough just to say, we've sat down and worked these targets out with the Aboriginal community. That's the first part, but the second part is actually making them a reality. And reducing the gaps in terms of things like life expectancy, incarceration, child removal, and the list goes on.
Because we are starting to sound like broken records, and enough's enough, you know what I mean? And the definition of sanity, doing something over and over and over again, expecting a different result.
The same result.
That's right.
That is the definition of insanity. Look, I'm really hopeful that this is the game changer that Pat Turner speaks about, and I will certainly be monitoring very closely what happens. Of course, it's only part of the story of what's happening in the Indigenous affairs space at a political level. We've still got the issues around the Uluru Statement.
Yes.
The cashless debit card, issues like that that has to be kept at the forefront as well.
Of course. Well, it's the phrase they've been using regarding COVID-19, we can use the same phrase, we're all in this together. So it's black and white Australian. Sorry?
Yes, we are.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Look, thank you so very much for sharing, Linda.
Good morning.
And all the best to you and your team, your family. You stay safe, Linda, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's the Honourable Linda Burney, MP, Member of Parliament, Member of the House of Representatives in Australian Federal Parliament and the Shadow Minister for Families and Social Services and for Preventing Family Silence. And the discussion there was a refresh, closing the gap targets. There's 16 new targets and they need to be hit, and the First Nation people need to be at the table. A robust conversation with action behind it. The old saying, well done is better than well said, so we do need action. Got about 8 minutes left on the program. You all have your saying, Yana. Up strong here on National Talk Black. Too Deadly, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Back here on National Talk Black, we've got Tony Gibbs calling back. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I've calmed down a bit.
Good, brother. Good, good. Good spirit.
We have to carry on, you know. Look, I just want to say, with Donna, I am her family. Her name is Gibbs. We have no kids. The bullying right through the whole native title process and the men saying women can't talk. I heard a show from Broome not a while ago, and you said that the Aboriginal policemen that were on country were from somewhere else, which gives a fair way of dealing with local disputes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that conversation?
Yeah, sure, yep. Not in their jurisdiction, so to speak.
Yeah. That's why it's good to be from outside, like you in the seat and me wherever I'm from, the other side of the planet with culture. I'm from Robin Hood culture. I mean, we've got culture too. You've been in my place, you see I've got a family shield that Donna shares, and it's got three axes on it. You might have seen it up on the wall.
Yes.
And I might have shown you one of the best axe heads that ever you've ever seen, the sharp edge on it.
Yes.
You remember?
Very impressed. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a beautiful axe. Well, axes come to me, and so many, it's just a spiritual thing. That I have three axes. I'm not the hatchet man. I know I'm the show axed.
No.
But there's a dispute, and you're in the hot seat, and I'm sorry for you being there.
All good. Yep.
To say, all good, yeah, we're just talking. I've got three axes. I've got one for Donna, and I've got one for the council at the moment, and I've got one for country.
Mm.
And I am her family. Now, the whole family, when the camp was taking over, nobody come and stuck up for her. She had no family. Yeah. She had nobody. Nobody came and said, right, we'll throw this fella out, you know, tribal way, not corporation way. With the force of the law behind it. And this has happened right through the whole process, and I'll just leave it there. I'm from a good family.
Yes.
I can come up here and whatever, and I know what I'm doing.
Sure.
And the next yarn, I said I wanted to do on hospital care at the hospital and cancer and things that go wrong and why people don't go to hospital, and I can answer all those questions, but I can only do one thing at a time.
Exactly.
Yesterday, Donna's funeral was 3 months yesterday.
Mm.
That's 3 months. So I'll leave the tape because I'm busy with other stuff.
Sure. But before you know it, 6 months will be up, my friend.
But I just don't agree with it. I just think it's made up, and believe that we agree to disagree.
Okay, I hear you. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Gibbs there having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yana with Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. That's who I am. I know who I am. National Talk Black, your host. That's who I am for your daily program, National Talk Black. I think we've got someone online. Someone, morning.
Yeah, brother, again, you're going to have the difference between black and white fella and what you can do about it. You can have the same perpetrator, but say something really offensive. I spoke about Kevin Bloody Wilson, my first brother.
Yep.
But Alan Bond, he sued him for the song Living Next Door to a Bondy, to the tune of Living Next Door to Alice.
Oh, he sued him, did he?
Yeah.
There you go. Course,
you know, what you people that he was offensive that he heard was the Mikatara people, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, brother. Too deadly. Too deadly, you mob, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, but you mob have to do that probably next week. Murray going to sign off here, but 24/7. You can text us your information, your queries, and your yarns, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well. Don't forget that, BBM 987 FM. Go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and the daily hot number is 1-800-422-416. We are still in the pandemic, you mob, so abide by the rules. Practice the social distancing, 1.5 metres. Keep washing your hands constantly. Stay home if you need to stay home. And if you're out and about, then wear a mask. That's especially down south Queensland, down in Victoria, New South Wales. I believe Queensland borders are closing Saturday morning. So there it is. We are still in the pandemic and we need to abide by the rules, which is the only vaccine we got for COVID-19. Stay safe, you mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll be yarning soon. Thank you.
Sacred sounds of the sea, seen the beauty of the land where the Georgina flows. It moves my spirit within me. Wherever I may ramble, my spirit can never cease to be wherever there watch the eagle riding the wind. Felt the beauty of the sunset around me. I've smelt the wildflowers after the summer rain.